to read verse 1 to verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right or righteous. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Someone said a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. I love that. You're not going to find a father in God unless they find something of God in their father. We have such an important role to play in the fashioning and the shaping of our children's lives and how they relate to God as their father. Isn't it interesting that when God reveals himself in his word, he reveals us as our Father in heaven. Remember when Jesus taught us to pray? And he taught us, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He used the word Abba, which means Papa or Daddy. I use the word Papa for being a grandparent. They call me Papa. And what a blessing it is. But I pray that somehow they'll see God in my life, in their own dad's life, and that it will have an impact on them for their eternal destiny and their temporal existence here on earth. Now, there are three great joys I think of in my life. Number one was the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I surrendered to him in genuine repentance. I never forget that August day sitting on the beach just north of Ventura. Beautiful day, and I just began to weep and cry and call out to God to forgive me and to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. And I felt what the Bible calls the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And I was born again, and God became my Father in heaven. So that's standout day number one. Number two was the day that I married my beautiful bride, Christy. And the two became one flesh. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a what? Good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. By the way, that was 48 years ago. I know I don't look that old, right? But what a blessing my wife has been these years. And then number three is my children. The birth of my daughter, Sarah, birth of my daughter, Bethany, birth of my daughter, Amy, birth of my son, Jared, and now 10 grandchildren later, he who finds a wife finds good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. What a blessing. And that a blessing that I have that relationship to God, that relationship to my wife, and that relationship to my children. But it's not easy being a father in today's world. Marriage is under attack. Three reasons. Number one, the drift away from biblical pattern. Sad day when America taught to redefine marriage. When they took away the definition of marriage between one man and one woman, male and female, which God has laid out in his word. Secondly is the decaying of morality. We see around us today the decline and the decay of the moral fiber of our nation. As goes marriage, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the nation. We need secure, sanctified marriages and homes to have a secure and sanctified nation. Amen? Marriage is the building block of society. And then thirdly, the description in 2 Timothy chapter 3 of the last days. The Bible says in the last days, men would be lovers of self and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They would be without natural affection. Now that phrase, without natural affection, means without family love. So we see there the drift away from biblical pattern. We see the decay of morality. And we see the description in the last days that we will be without natural affection or family love. Now, yet as a Christian, we have, as Christian fathers, God's word, his precept, his owner's manual for how to be a husband and how to be a parent and how to be a father. I want to back up real quick. I'm not going to be teaching these verses, but I want to set the context for fatherhood in chapter 6, verse 4, by going back to chapter 5, verse 31 to 33. And because in the context, we discover we have first God's design for marriage, God's design for children, and then God's design for fathers in this marvelous text. Look at verse 31 of Ephesians 5. He says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh." Paul says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife." He's speaking to the husbands, the men. "Love your wife even as yourself. For the wife," he said, "and the wife see that she reverence or respects her husband." Now this text comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And this is Moses' divine commentary on marriage. So it starts in Genesis 2, verse 24 and 25. And it also appears in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19, Jesus said God made them male and female and said, "For this cause, a man leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, the two become one flesh." And something that's added there in Matthew 19, he says, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." So marriage is to be a commitment for life, till death do us part, or the Lord come to rapture us home. So it starts with a godly marriage being a godly father. Now notice in verse 33 of chapter 5, he says, "So this is the summary. Let every one of you in particular, husbands, love your wife as yourself, and wife, respect or reverence your husband." So we must be first committed to our marriage before we can be fathers or grandfathers. It's kind of a popular trend today not to get married. Another popular trend is to have kids without getting married. That's not God's design. Children need a biological mother and their biological father in the home following God's principles and design for marriage. Now, that's God's ideal. I know sometimes it doesn't happen, but that's what God has designed for the home. So we want to be committed to this principle of marriage. Leave, cleave, and become one flesh. This is a picture of Christ and the church, verse 32 of chapter 5. It's a picture of Christ and the church. It's a great mystery. So the husbands should love their wives, and women, wives, should be showing respect or reverence and submission to their husbands. So that's out of the way now. So now in our text, chapter 6, Paul does, first of all, talks to the children in verses 1 to 3, and Paul sets before the children a twofold command. Notice it with me. "Children, obey your parents." So that's the first command. "In the Lord, for this is right." Here's the second command, verse 2. "Honor your father and your mother," which is the first commandment with the promise, "that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth." Now, the first thing that children are to know is that they should have the action of obedience. Verse 1, "Children, obey your parents." I guess we should have brought all the kids from Sunday school in to hear this sermon today, amen? But you can always fire it up on the computer and set the kids in front of it and say, "You're going to listen to Pastor John Miller today." "Children, obey your parents." Now, this phrase, "obey," means to listen under. You ever have parents say, "Are you listening to me? Do you hear me? What did I just tell you?" Kids zone out, right? They just totally zone out their parents. So it means your ears are open. You're listening to dad and mom. And not just listening, but listening with an intention and a commitment to obey them. Notice that it's fitting and it's right. It's a fitting thing to do, a right thing to do, that children. So what a novel thought, children who actually obey their parents. Then notice we're to have also not just the action of obedience, but the attitude of honor. Verse 2 of chapter 6, he says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which interestingly, out of the Decalogue is the first commandment. It's commandment number 5 in the Ten Commandments, but it's the first commandment with a promise. So how do children honor their parents? Well, by obedience, that's what it says in the text. By respecting them, honor means to respect them, to love them, and if need be, care for them. Now, why? Verse 3, because it's a commandment with a promise. John Phillips said in his excellent commentary on Ephesians, he said, a child who grows up to love, honor, obey his mother and father lays the foundation for a happier, more stable, and more successful life than does a child who is rude, disrespectful, self-willed, and rebellious. So obeying your parents has the result of having a blessed and fruitful life. I can think of so many times that I disobeyed my parents and I paid a price for doing that. I have scars on my face right now because I didn't obey my parents. They used to, in the old garage, remember those old wooden garage doors with the big springs? You know, if you open those garage doors up, you can climb on top of the car and then onto the garage door. I shouldn't be telling them this. And you can hang out up there. It's a like cool little hangout place. But our garage had a window in it, a glass window in it. And my mother told me, John, she says, I don't want you climbing up on that garage door. Do not climb on that garage. Yes, mother, I will not climb. What did I do? I climbed down the garage. And then I heard my mom coming out to the garage, so I scattered across the garage real quick, and I went over the window, and it broke, and I went head first through the glass. And I laid my head wide open. I'm bleeding everywhere. My mom comes in, and the first thing I can think of is run for your life. Your mom just saw you. So I take off running down the street. I'm bleeding all over. And I'm saying, Mommy, don't spank me. Mommy, don't spank me. Mommy, don't. And the neighbors are dialing 911 right now. Crazy. But I think, man, I wouldn't have this big old scar on my face if I would have just not been obedient to my mother and to my father. Now, write down these verses, dads. Proverbs 10, verse 27. Fear of the Lord adds length to life. So this commandment with the promise is a general principle. That doesn't mean all good godly kids will live till old age, but as a general rule, that's the case. So fear of the Lord adds length to life, but years of the wicked are cut off. How about this one? Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Read that to your kids when you tuck them in at night. Pleasant dreams, little Johnny. Watch out for the ravens. They're waiting out in the yard for you right now. Man, what a crazy verse. So remember again, these are principles, not promises. Now, Paul moves in his instruction to fathers, verse 4. This is our focus. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This is the negative. This is the fathers do not do. But this is what to do. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Three key words for phrases. Bring them up, nurture, and then admonition of the Lord. Now, the Bible is a balanced book, and God does not command children to obey their parents without telling parents not to provoke their children to wrath. Just as it tells wives to submit to their husbands, so it tells husbands to love their wives. It tells slaves to be obedient to their masters. It tells masters to be caring for their slaves. So it's a balanced book. But Paul gives them instruction to the fathers specifically. The responsibility for managing a home and raising children should primarily fall on the leadership, spiritual headship, and leadership of a father. This is why fathers are so very important. And they partner with their wives and with the Holy Spirit and God's word, but they should take the leading role as priest and pastor of their home. So one pungent sentence, Paul gives the principles that we need to be faithful fathers. Now it comes in two parts. Let's look at this in verse 4. The first is negative, and the second one is positive. Now, by no means is this exhaustive, but it's really good rubber meets the road instruction for fathers, verse 4, the negative. He says, first of all, do not provoke your children to wrath. The NIV translates that, do not exasperate your children. So this is the first negative. Do not do this. The NIV, as I said, translates exasperate them or goad your children to resentment that they might lose heart, as some translations have. Fathers can easily misuse their authority to abuse their leadership in the home. Now, how do fathers exasperate or dishearten or discourage their children? Again, this is not from the text, but just some thoughts. Number one, criticism. Dads being overly critical and fault-finding and judgmental of their kids, criticizing them publicly and making them feel ashamed. So we need to be careful. In the parallel passage of Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul says, lest they be discouraged. There's a lot of kids that have lost heart and become discouraged because they're never good enough for their dad. They never heard any encouragement, only criticism. It's very important that you build them up. Secondly, overly strict. It's not being overly strict and controlling is dangerous and detrimental for your children. I've often used the analogy that it's like holding a bar of wet soap. When you squeeze too tight, it goes out. If you hold them too loosely, they slip through. So it's having a delicate balance. It's a balancing act. Many times we become overly strict in Christian homes because we want to keep them from the world, rightfully so, but we become legalistic about it and the kids rebel. Or we don't live by the grace of God. Or we're concerned only about our reputation as parents and not the good of our children. They can tell the difference. You just don't want my name in the paper because it will reflect upon you. You're not concerned about your children's well-being. A third way that dads can exasperate their children is being inconsistent. Telling them yes, telling them no. One time, yes, you can go. Sometimes, no, you can't go. And there's no standard or inconsistency in their life. They say one thing, they do another thing. Their lives do not match their commitment of their word to God. And then number four, showing favoritism. Isaac favored Esau, and it created big problems over Jacob. And then Jacob himself, falling into the same error as his father Isaac, he favored Joseph over his other boys. And we all know what happened in this case of Joseph, right? So be careful not to show favoritism, because this child is more athletic or gets better grades or more cooperative, and we tend to shun the other children. We don't show affection for all of them. And then number five is being irritable. How many kids have been the brunt of dad's bad day in the office? He comes home stressed, he comes home upset, comes home angry, and basically gets to, when dad's home, run for your life, right? Hide in the closet. Dad's had a bad day. And then sixthly, being neglecting your children. I think of David, who neglected Absalom. He neglected Absalom. R. Ken Hughes says, God has created our children with their hearts turned toward ours. Our power is awesome. We must take God's word and heed it to heart. So Absalom rebelled against his dad because his dad neglected him. Neglect can lead to rebellion. And then when Absalom was killed, David felt the remorse and he cried, "Absalom, my son, oh my son Absalom, how often I would have died for you, oh my son Absalom." But he neglected his son and he knew that he was reaping what he had sown. God help us not to neglect our children. Now here's the positive beginning in verse 4. Three things: bring them up, nurture them, and admonish them in the Lord. Paul provides the formula that will prosper a child and help fathers to be faithful to God's calling on their lives. There are three do's. So we have the don'ts, now we have the do's. Now, the first, if you're taking notes, is tenderness. Notice in verse 4, bring them up. You say, well, where do you get the idea of tenderness here? In chapter 5 of Ephesians and verse 29, where it uses the word nourish or nourisheth, it says the husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. So the very same Greek word is used here when it says bring them up, means to cherish them, to nourish them. And the cool thing about this word is in the Greek it literally means to warm with body heat, to hug them, to cherish them, to show affection toward them. We're hearing a lot today about toxic masculinity, and men shouldn't be men. Men should be men and be masculine, but there's nothing unmasculine about a man being tender with his wife and with his children or being compassionate. So I think that dads should hug their children. Dads should kiss their children. Dad should show their children affection. Dad should tell their children they love them, right? How many people have grown up and said, never once has my dad said, I love you? Can't tell how many dads have been in my office with tears going down their face and saying, I don't know how to show love to my kids because my dad never showed love to me. I don't know how to be affectionate toward my children because my dad was not affectionate toward me. It's time to break that cycle, dads. Hug your kids. Kiss your kids. Tell them that you love them, even when they are adults. Let them know you love them and you appreciate them. Hug them, kiss them. So tenderness is the number one mark of a godly father. Tell them you love them, hug them, listen to them when they talk. I thought it was funny. A while back, I was with a granddaughter, and she was just talking 1,000 miles an hour. And I actually liked it. And this is awesome. I love this. And then I thought, when my three girls were talking like that, I used to say, let's play a game called Be Quiet. Shh. Who can go the longest without talking? That's daddy's game. Because it's like, ah! But now that I'm a grandfather, it's like music to my ears. But I know too, when I start freaking out, I could just send them home. But I love to hear their voices. I love to hear them talk. And dads, we need to listen to our children. And then last but not least, spend time with them. That's how you show tenderness to them. Plan daddy-daughter dates. Plan a special trip with one of the kids and another one of the kids. Show them individual attention. Give them a special time with you as their father when you listen to them and spend time with them. Now here's the second thing dad should do, and that's discipline. Nurture is the word in verse 4. So you bring them up, tenderness. You nurture them, which is discipline. So discipline should be done in love. Discipline should be done by verbal instruction and even discipline when it's needed. but in a way to correct them and to train them. So if we love our children, we will what? Discipline our children. Hebrews 12, verse 6. Whom the Lord loves, he what? By the way, that could be spanks. You get thrown in jail for spanking today. I've actually seen parents I wish I could spank. I'm ready to spank parents. If you love your children, you'll discipline them. Write down these verses, Dad. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often. Then Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You ever say, you're getting a spanking. They start screaming. You haven't even touched them yet. You kind of like, remember the good old days when parents said, I'll give you something to cry about? That was awesome. I haven't even touched you. Proverbs 29:15, the rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother shame. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. I heard the story of Franklin Graham when he was a little tot, and Graham was out on one of his evangelistic campaigns, and he was being a naughty boy. And Ruth had to leave him with one of the caretakers for a while. She came home, she found out Franklin had been a really bad boy. She goes, Franklin, you're gonna get a spanking. So Ruth said to him, I understand you've been disobedient. Franklin said, the devil made me do it. She said, well, we're just gonna get the stick and we're gonna beat the devil out of you. We're gonna beat that devil out of you right now. So God has given us instructions in his word that we should do it lovingly, but we should discipline faithfully. And here's the third and last do for fathers, verse 4, admonition of the Lord. So packed in these three phrases, bring them up, tenderness, nurture, discipline, admonition of the Lord speaks of them being instructed or taught, verbal instruction with warnings, literally to place before the mind. It is a father's responsibility to instruct their children in the spiritual matters. Now, number one, you must be a man who's been born again, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, living by the Word of God, loving them, disciplining them, now instructing them. Years ago, the Houston Police Department put a pamphlet together, How to Ruin Your Children. Number 5 on the list of how to ruin your children was, never give them any spiritual training. Let them wait till they're 21 years old, then let them decide for themselves. Now, you know that's not gonna work, right? While they're young, they're like clay. We wanna mold them and shape them. We wanna pour into them. Start really early. If we are followers of in Christ and instruct our children in spiritual matters, we must know the Word of God. We must be committed to God and the fear of God. And we must pray to God to fill our lives and make them godly examples in the home. Write down Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, where the Lord speaking says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy heart. For these words which I command thee this day shall be before thy heart. Thou shalt teach them, here it is, diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when you sit by thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So God's given us his word. We need to know his word. Now, a lot of times dads let the wife become the Bible student. And she reads the Bible. She studies the Bible. Dads just kind of sit around. And I'm not trying to point anybody out right now this morning that are here. I can't tell you, though, how many times I'm preaching and the wife's got the Bible. She's taking notes. And the dad's got his arm crossed, no Bible, just looking at me. He'll look over once in a while. I feel like stopping and saying, could you give your Bible to your husband right now? Give your Bible to your husband. He needs a Bible. So many times men don't even carry a Bible or read the Bible. Oh, that's a wife's thing. No, it's not. You need to be a man of the word. You need to set an example of being soaking your heart in the word. Read Psalm 1, guys. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers whose leaf shall not wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Amen? So be a man of the word. You must know the word to impart the word to your children. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writing to his protege, Timothy, he said that you have known the faith from the time you were a small child, because you received that from your father, from your mother and your grandmother. So children should be instructed by their parents, and preferably dad should lead the way. Now, let me wrap this up. Dads, you must be, number one, right with God. You must have salvation. You must be living a life of sanctification. You must be men in the scriptures, and you must be men who serve the Lord. Number two, you need to be right with your wives. You cannot be a godly father if you're not committed to your wives. The best thing you can do for your children is love your wife and be committed to her. And then number three, be right with your children. Don't exasperate them. Love them, cherish them, discipline them, instruct them. It's going to take time. It's going to take work. It's going to be difficult, but do that. Now, Psalm 127 says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that has the quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Amen.